Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Hey, Peyton, we get it. Welcome back. 104.5 The Zone, the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Omaha will be the place to be later on. Vanderbilt plays Michigan tonight in the College World Series Finals, Game 1. All right, it's time for one of our favorite spots every week, and that's when we visit with Coach Mac, Dave McGinnis, who is brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Dave, of course, with Titans Radio. You need great health care coverage at an affordable price. Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. The hood had Coach McGinnis covered because it's pouring down rain now coming in here.
Yeah, it was.
Your hair looks good, though, man.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I was worried about my hair. That's why I've got a big hood on there. I love starting off my week with you guys. I did not like when Friday night I was at home. I was watching a football live of Emmitt Smith.
Yeah.
Because I had Emmitt, you know, when he came to the, I took Emmitt when he came to the Cardinals. Oh. You know, after the Cowboys. So anyway, I was watching that. It was really good. And then, I mean, it went as dark as 10,000 midnights. I sent you guys that picture of the tree that, I mean, there was that straight line wind. Mm-hmm. I think, what do they call it in Spanish out there where I'm from? Call it Drejo. It means straight. It's just straight line winds. Mm-hmm. And it came through there. I mean, it was like, okay. I see where Schaefer's got his. Some trees went down in his place. But I just, you know what? I didn't even mess with it. I walked outside, looked at it, and saw that huge tree lying across that power line, packed a bag, went right down to the hotel. That's it. Goodbye.
Man.
Hey, let me give Nashville Electric Service, NES, a shout-out, too. They were out there and got it done. I mean, I thought, I had my power. I had my roof taken off when I was in St. Louis about this time of year with a tornado. I wasn't in it. I was in the facility. I was hunkered down myself and the security guards and the cleaning crew. And I was up there in the facility. But anyway, it took it off where I was, and it took them forever to get the power back on. These people here, the power was back on really quick. Mm-hmm. Now, the tree's still there. It's going to take a while to get that tree. But these people, NES, they got it done. A big shout-out to them.
Yeah, and you learn.
No doubt.
The year the Titans got here, the year they were the Tennessee Oilers, was the year the tornado hit. And I remember because they were having the draft preview out in Bellevue in the trailers.
Oh,
man. And then I was working, of course, at Channel 5 at the time. And, you know, I was joking because my photographer, Bob Kuzak, is from Oklahoma.
Ooh.
And Kuz is like worried about tornadoes. And I go, Kuz, don't worry. I go, it never hits a metropolitan area, never goes into the city.
Or staff meteorologist Mark Howard.
I'm just telling you, and he would attest to this fact, that I'm sitting there, I'm like eating an ice cream cone or whatever, because I'm always eating. But anyway, I'm telling Kuz, I go, just don't worry about it, man.
Back then.
Meanwhile, we're sitting there watching Skycam, watching this tornado, you know, cutting through the city like a scythe.
Yeah, including East Nashville.
It was unbelievable. And you realize, and, you know, here I am. I'm a guy from the Northeast. I've seen snowstorms, thunderstorms, whatever. I had never seen a tornado, and you learn about what a force of nature it is.
No, you don't play with that stuff.
As it just cut through the city, it was like a bomb went off.
You don't play with that stuff. I grew up in West Texas, and so we're really familiar with it. I mean, I can remember several times as a young kid growing up with my brother and sister in the bathtub with a mattress over our head because that stuff hit. And that was before they could predict them, you know, the way they can predict them now coming in. And that stuff was for real. So that's why as soon as that thing went off and those lights went out, I started packing a bag. I said, I'm going somewhere downtown Nashville, somewhere in the Metro Center, somewhere where they've got lights on.
You're talking about being in East Nashville. You can look. You can still see the path of where that tornado Mark's talking about in 98, where it went through. Like, you can tell the trees are different or missing in a stretch through there.
The Mother Nature is no joke when she gets fired up. I'm just telling you.
Dave, we've had fun with the Tritons by the numbers.
It's been cool to
relive some highlights from some of those dudes. And you were telling us that you remember Earl Campbell from his days in playing high school football in Texas. I thought that was pretty cool.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, I was listening to you guys coming in, and I love the fact that you're going through. I was with all of those guys, every one of those guys that you put on the numbers until you got to Earl. Now, I witnessed Earl Campbell at John Tyler in high school. And then when he was at the University of Texas, my first year as a graduate assistant at TCU, I told you I watched him run against the Frogs for about 700 yards in the game. And that was back then. You remember back then, guys, they were using those tearaway jerseys?
Yeah, that's what Blaine was talking about earlier.
And Earl never had any clothes on, after about the first quarter.
Nobody would have run into him. They just would have grabbed him.
No, grabbing. People were reaching and grabbing. I saw a lot of guys make so many business decisions. When Earl was coming out. But in high school, it was the two most amazing high school players I've seen in Texas. Was Earl Campbell at Tyler John Tyler, and then Eric Dickerson at Sealy, Texas. Ooh. Eric Dickerson at Sealy, I mean, it was not fair, but Earl, come on, guys, this guy was something.
I just remember how gigantic his legs were. He's just
guess when they were gigantic? When he's in high school.
When he's in high school too, yeah. Right?
What?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, Lane, I'm telling you what. And, sometimes, in high schools, they were in, Tyler John Tyler's in a great division, mm-hmm. but they still play some, teams where those kids come out there and those, their thigh pads are flapping in their pants, And to see that, you were going to say, no, stop it. Let's just stop this game. Right now, but I love the fact that y'all are doing these numbers. Yeah, I mean, yeah. All the guys
you play with. I mean, you coached most of those guys. Finnegan, McCourty,
all of them. Griff,
yeah.
You guys, Griff.
Then we got Adam, number, any Adam, of them.
Adam Jones. Adam Jones. You guys. I mean, you guys brought them all up. No, I think you've done a tremendous job of that, and that's
to miss somebody.
Griff. When we drafted Griff number one, Griff had a twin, that played down there with him too. Griff had a twin. Mm-hmm. But Michael Griffin was probably the best. Well, let me just say this. Because for everything that he did wrong and as combustible and as off center as Adam Jones was, with a football in his hands, electric.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, an athlete too. He was an athlete. He was a special kind of athlete now because he had twitch upon twitch. And he could stick a foot in the ground and jump sideways and jump backwards and do all. I mean, he was amazing. But as far as pure athletic ability, Michael Griffin was as good as there was.
Pac-Man drove Jim Schwartz crazy.
Pac-Man never knew one defense.
Yeah, he was playing.
That's laughable.
Pac-Man. I remember Schwartzy would tell me, he said he's out there playing his own game. He was so athletic. He was so gifted that he was able to do that for a while.
Wait a minute now. I'm really baffled when you say something like that because his years went on, when he wasn't with the Titans, I'm sure he's with the Bengals somewhere.
Oh, no,
there's
no way he could
defenses.
Look, as long as he did, I'm talking about early on.
Right.
I mean, his first few times here, because you know how you go through walkthroughs.
Maybe he just did his own thing. He just act like he didn't know defense. Cover one, three, four.
He'd tell you.
That's not that hard.
He would. Well, because you have a lot of calls. You got force calls that you make to the backers, and if it's a close side,
give it out of the jargon.
That you made this. Oh yeah, yeah. He'd talk to Bullock. He'd say tight end. It is some stuff. He'd just say it's some stuff.
I'm about to cry over here, man.
But look, that guy,
yeah, special. Huh?
That guy could play football. We're talking about football.
Right.
That guy could play football. Yeah. That guy could play football, and he was fearless. He was fearless. I mean, even for his size, I mean, he would go after him. And plus, when they punted that ball to him, there's two guys in my tenure here. Now, I spent 8 years here. This is my 11th year here, so I spent over a third of my career in the National Football League here in Nashville with the Titans. There are two guys that you stood up when that ball came to him. CJ 2K,
yeah.
And when that ball was punted to Adam Jones, because there was no telling where he was going to go with that. He had some returns that, you guys had that 190-yard return. That game at Philly, when you guys were playing, I love Mike Keith's replays. I mean, how good is he? I mean, but it just brings flooded memories. And sitting in that car driving over here, coming back, that Philly game was that game where Vince Young missed the flight. If you remember, that's the game where VY missed the flight, and so we get there, and we're not sure whether VY is going to be there as a quarterback. That's when Norm Chow is the offensive coordinator, and we always had wristbands, you know, colored wristbands, you know, for VY to call it, and Norm had a colored chart up there, and I'd sit right next to Norm, and then you know, and Chuck Cecil would sit over here on this side, and. And so, I mean, you know, that ball game, of course, you know, VY's head was not in it at all. He didn't even make the trip, showed up. I mean, he didn't make the trip with the team, so he showed up at the hotel about, you know, 11:30 that night. And so now you got all that drama going on. And if you'll remember at the time, Philly was really good. I mean, Philly was really good. And if we don't knock McNabb out on the sideline and he hurt his ACL, if you'll remember that, he came out and Jeff Garcia had to come in. But anyway, I mean, that was when we handed that ball to T. Hinn out of, you know, we were in 22 personnel and turned around at midfield, just handed the ball to T. Hinn. Norm Chow was losing his mind upstairs because Vince Young was not calling one play that he called, you know, because he'd look, you know, Norm would go green 33. And then he'd look down, this is not green 33. And then he'd turn around and hand it to
you hear those stories all the time.
No, yeah. It's true.
Like he would call and the wrong play in the huddle. Yeah, and I go, what do you mean he would call the wrong play? They said he called play that they have never even heard of, look, though.
And they worked. And that's and they worked.
Sometimes.
And they worked. Well, this game, they were all working, you know, because, I mean, what? Travis Henry took that ball and went, 70 yards with it. Right. Oh, yeah, that ball game also, I remember all these games. Only been 600 of them. Keith Bullock, remember, returned a fumble for a touchdown at the end of that ball game too. And then that was a game where, you know, Adam returned. That was an interesting. But you know what? In the gate, Titans win. Get in the plane. Let's go back home.
Wow, man! Encyclopedia. That's awesome. Dave McGinnis from Titans Radio. More with Coach Mack coming up in just a moment here on the Wake Up Zone. He's brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Mark's going to give us a little more about Mortgage Investors Group.
That's right. Have you heard of Mortgage Investors Group? Lock, shop, and save program. You can lock in your rate for 90 days while you shop for a home, and once you find the one you want, you get the lowest rate available. Mortgage Investors Group's Lock, Shop, and Save program is available for conventional FHA, VA, and rural development loan types. No contract required, no upfront fees, and you can switch to any other program once your property is identified. So call for your worry-free solution, Lock, Shop, and Save today. And also, Mortgage Investors Group advises you to be ahead of the other buyers by getting pre-qualified before you start looking for a home. Pre-qualification gives you bargaining power and can help you close quicker. So get pre-qualified, get moving. And whether you're buying your first home or your fifth, Mortgage Investors Group can help you fulfill your home buying goals. They're celebrating being in business for 30 years. They're also the number one lender in the state of Tennessee, number one USDA Tennessee lender, and number one THDA lender. So let them put that experience to work for you. And 100% financing is possible to take you from renting to owning. So call our friends at Mortgage Investors Group to see if you qualify, or go to migonline.com for the office nearest you. Equal housing lender, license number 109111.
A33 on 104.5 The Zone, the Wake Up Zone. We're powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Having fun with Coach Dave McGinnis from Titans Radio, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You need great health care coverage at an affordable price. Farm Bureau Health Plans will coach you through it. They've got you covered. One thing let's get to our Lee Company hot performer, Mark, and then we'll continue with Coach Mack.
Our Lee Company hot performer, actually performers.
Oh, yeah?
The New York Yankees.
Oh, come
on.
Are
you serious? They cannot be the Lee Company. No.
No.
Mark.
You're outvoted.
The crack staff made a huge mistake.
Mark, your guys here are not real happy with that.
Let me explain.
Okay, go ahead. But
on Sunday, when DJ LeMahieu went deep, 26 straight games that the Yankees have hit a home run, a new major league record. breaking the mark of 25 set by the 1941 Yankees, which happened to fall in the middle of Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. That's our Lee Company hot performers. Those are our Lee Company hot performers.
No, that's yours.
Lee Company serving Middle Tennessee families and businesses since 1944. All you need.
This shows you how Mark is biased to the crack staff. He's all in their head.
Oh, my God.
Because
I swayed the vote.
Made a huge comeback. That's what? Hometown right here. Oh, yeah. You went way I know. East.
I was actually going to go with Harrison Ray, who made a great – it was Ray, not Ethan Paul, made the great base-running move and great fielding play to end the game on Friday.
Oh, man. Did he promise you guys donuts?
This is, hey, the, this is the most disappointing. This is the most disappointing Lee Company.
I thought well deserved. Yeah. I thought,
yeah, on the East Coast.
He Mark, didn't tell crack staff about this.
Mark, I haven't been here for this before, but I'm glad I am now for this one.
Yeah. Mike Keith would agree with me.
I am so impressed with your encyclopedic knowledge, and I'm serious about this. About the Yankees, I mean, that's impressive. Now, your pick, not real impressive.
Man. That's the story of my life, Coach Mack.
That's outstanding.
That's good.
I impress and then I disappoint. All right. Can you please, and you know, everybody acts like they know, you know, what the new pass interference rule interpretation will be, especially going to video replay. But can you explain the process after it's, you know, gone through a number of different incarnations, you know, what we're going to see? Because I'm telling you, the biggest mistake the NFL has made, in my opinion, over the last 10 to 20 years is that we, when growing up watching the game, we knew what and wasn't a penalty. And now with the catch rule, you know, being so complicated, they tried to simplify it. And now this, they really risk confusing their viewers.
Look, I mean, I've been in this league 34 years. I've been in it when it was you went with what the call was, you lived through it. I mean, I can remember clearly with Don Majkowski, it cost us the division championship. You know, when the Magic Man went across the line.
I remember that game.
No, I was there at that game. Yeah. Believe me,
it's not the same.
But believe me, and I about lost my NFL career because I went right next door at the old Green Bay Stadium and started pounding on the door, yelling, screaming, "Are you kidding me?" And then you know they came and said, "Coach Mike, you can't do this. You're going to this." But anyway, so I've lived through it all. But now we've gotten to a point now with replay the way it is, and plus the technology nowadays, guys, is so finite. I mean, you've got 8K, 10K, 4K, whatever we're looking at it on. I mean, you can see it. I've got a monitor up there when I'm calling the games. You can see it all. It's different than when you're down on the field. We all know that. Now, you talk about the rule in itself. First of all, what they've done, and, you know, you start treading some dangerous waters sometimes when you make a all-encompassing rule really based off of one play. And one this is the New Orleans Rams game now. Sure. All of this stuff is germinated from that because that was such an egregious, the worst I've ever seen. I'll say that again. The worst I've ever seen. I've been in over 650 NFL games personally, seen them live. The worst non-call I've ever seen. And it had huge ramifications. But the fallout from that has been this, okay? And what people are, and what, you know, what they're going to do now, and of course, all the permutations that they went through with this, what they finally, now, in the last 2 minutes of the first half and the second half, it's still on the officials. You know, the coaches can't challenge it. Now, coaches are still going to get two challenges, and they get three if they get the first two right. So you don't get any more challenges, but now you can challenge offensive and defensive pass interference. Now, the thing, if you'll read the rule, and I read the rule because I've talked to people that were at the symposium. If you read the rule, and when it was explained, Al Riveron explained it. The phrase in there, guys, that is going to be so controversial. It says has to be clear and obvious. Okay. And so if it's clear and obvious, and now here's the other thing, and you guys know this, anytime you challenge a play, then everything within that play is up for review.
Becomes in play, right?
Becomes in play. Okay, so when you look at it, they focused on the Kansas City LA Chargers playoff game. I mean, you know, when they were playing, you know, that you know, Kansas City, you know, threw a ball, it was pass interference in the fourth quarter, put it down to the 2-yard line, pass interference in the end zone. And when Al Riveron was explaining it, he said, now, and in the room with people, they said it was half and half. Pass interference, no pass interference. I mean, so you're never going to get a consensus. I'm saying that right now. You'll never get a consensus. And the other thing on that play, he said, seriously, the real call here for clear and obvious is it was also offensive pass interference because he did push off, which they do all the time. Right. You know that. He said, so the ball instead would have come back out to the 20-yard line. You're going to have a lot of instances. Clear and obvious. Clear and obvious is what you've got to concentrate on. And, you know, now where you're going to see a lot of it and you're going to start seeing it parse out is in the preseason. Because all of you know, our listeners know, you've been around the NFL long enough, anytime they make something a point of emphasis and you make something as drastic as this change is in the National Football League, people are going to experiment with it in the preseason. So just get ready for that.
Yeah, because they want to prep the players too as well.
That's 100% right.
They're ready for the way it's going to be called.
That's right, yeah. Blaine. And the thing is, coaches are going to want to say, because you throw that challenge flag in the preseason, because I mean, what the what? I mean, you just throw the challenge flag, but at least you want some visual evidence to be able to show your players just what you bring up. Now, look, here's where this is, and here's what they're going to call. I mean, the same thing, you know, started happening. Remember when they, you know, took the headgear out of it, you know, saying all of, you know, that we had to show plays and plays and plays and plays, and sooner or later the players adapted to that. This is going to be a little different, because as much as the ball is in the air nowadays, and as much as it goes on downfield, and it can't help but go on downfield in real speed, real time, real, you know, combat catch situations, it's going to be very interesting. Get ready for it in the preseason, guys.
As coaches, how much time do you spend with the players on these sorts of things?
A lot.
Versus just say, you know what, do what you do and we'll adjust. I mean, how do you do that?
In this instance, it's going to be a little bit of do what you do, and here's what you're going to do too. You're going to bring, and which everybody does now, you're going to bring officials into training camp and tell them to call it like they, you know, NFL officials, and ask them, you know, that when they're with you, and ask them to call it like they're going to call it. And then, I mean, and it's not arguing ifs and buts and candy and nuts. It's saying, look, this is how it's going to be called. So we're going to have to learn how to play it like this. But, you know, to your point, Kevin, which is a very valid point, you can't get caught up so much in the minutia. Ask a guy sitting right here that played for years in this league, especially back in open space, okay? You start thinking about all that stuff, you're done.
Because
it happens too fast.
Yeah, just hold. Yeah. Just hold low.
Just keep it low where they can't see it.
Yeah, and then you know, befriend the referee and learn a little bit about them and their families and talk about that.
Oh, hey, Al, how you doing?
Part of the game.
The thing your kid is doing.
How's your son's season going?
Nope, not son. You got to have the name.
How's Freddie's season?
How's little Terry doing?
Yeah, exactly. And they go, oh, Blaine, great. Oh, dang, I didn't know you knew my name.
Thanks for asking, Blaine.
Man, oh, this is awesome. He's going to give me that holding call.
Yeah, that's still a penalty on
you. They said, Blaine, wash your hands next time, man. I saw you there a little low, but I know the impact. Oh, okay, thank you.
And that talk goes on.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell y'all. That's real talk.
The other thing they did do, though, you remember, you know, when they're going to take the Hail Mary out of it. Okay, because, you know, we started talking about that because, I mean, I coached in this league for 31 years. I coached defense for a long time. Whoa. I will sit here and tell you, on that play down there, tell them, take them out. Do anything you want.
If anything goes.
Because they're not going to call it. You know, they're not going to call it either way.
Do what must be done.
Yes, I've heard it before.
843, we're visiting Coach Mac. We're having a good time. You want to jump in, 615-737-1045. He is brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. More Wake Up Zone coming up. First, Blaine, and a word about Gary Ashton.
Yes, you found the perfect home, but you can't buy it until you sell the one you have. Well, with the Gary Ashton team, that's a thing of the past. Blaine Bishop here for my friend Gary Ashton, RE/MAX Advantage, the number one RE/MAX team in the world. You know, Gary is the don't sell without the intel guy. Now he's helping you get your dream address without the stress. With the Gary Ashton team, now you have an option to get your dream home as soon as you find it with a strong cash offer. It's a program they're making available to avoid all the fuss of having to deal with showing your home in open houses. So instead of sell, then buy, we're talking buy, then sell. No more losing the home of your dreams. No more taking the first or only offer. You can now make an immediate offer on your dream home before you sell. So get your dream address without your stress and give them a call. 615-301-1650, or you can visit them online at GaryAston.com today. The official real estate team of the Tennessee Titans, Nashville Predators, and the Nashville Soccer Club.
104.5 The Zone, 849 The Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. You better keep your hands to yourself or they'll call pass interference on you or something. Or maybe they won't.
Maybe they won't. Yeah. That's going to be interesting, guys. DB's for our listeners, notes. Everybody watch it. It's going to be interesting.
Coach Dave McGinnis from Titans Radio, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You need great health care coverage at an affordable price. All you have to do is let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They have got you covered. Let's get to a phone call or two for Coach Mack.
Nice.
All the way to Marietta, Georgia. James, good morning. You're on the Zone.
Hey, hi. Great day to you, fellas. I had a question for Coach Mack. I wanted to know if you noticed, if you could tell the difference between the Dick LeBeau defense and the Dean Tease defense. And I also wanted to know if you noticed a difference in between how Dick LeBeau used Kevin Byard and how Dean Tease uses him. And I'll listen.
James, thanks for the call. Great question. That's a very insightful question, and it's very topical right now. Because, first of all, think of this. If you're a defensive player for the Tennessee Titans, think how fortunate you've been within the last five-year span. Oh, wow. You've got Dick LeBeau, okay, that you were coached by, either as a young player or a veteran player, and were able to absorb all of that 50 years of NFL knowledge. 50 years of NFL knowledge. Look, I've been in the league 34 years, and every time I would go into Dick LeBeau's office, I felt like a freshman in high school. You know,
because, Mr. LeBeau?
No, I'm serious. It was just so good. And then to have Dean Pease come in, who I think right now is one of the most innovative and one of the most schematically important. And I say that because it's important for defensive players right now and defensive coaches and especially coordinators to be able to counteract everything that's going on with all the advantages that offenses have in this league right now. Dean Pease has always been able to do that. And so the differences, I think there's a lot of similarities in the way they use things. And what they do, especially with their back end, James, as you're asking about Kevin Byard, he's going to be put into a lot of different types of situations. He is one of the better middle of the field closed post safeties in this league right now. He's got great directional delivery, ball key ability. He's got a great ability to ascertain things pre-snap and post-snap. He's also in charge of a whole lot of things that go on that make it extremely, extremely important for everybody. He's a great field general out there. And both of these guys, I can remember Dick LeBeau when I first came here, was just being effusive in his praise of Kevin Byard when he was a young player about his knowledge of what was going on because he worked at it. Dean Pease is the same way. They are both going to use him extensively just because of the value that he brings, not only as a safety, but also as a field general and a quarterback on defense.
Mm. On that note, real quick, though, yeah. On the Byard, do sometimes coaches, when you have a really good player that has multi-skills like Byard, how when you're going into the game plan, do you feel like sometimes you're utilizing him too much? And spreading him thin, trying to do too many different things. What is the thought process, I guess, for the defensive coordinators when you're dealing with a player like this?
And let's go back to James's question. I think when Dick LeBeau first started and Kevin was brand new, you've got to be careful.
Right.
You've got to be careful. But once you find out what the player can digest and what he can take on, you know what I think about that, Blaine, and I think everybody because I study defenses every offseason, for 34 years. That's what I've done is to study that. And the thing that I go back to is a safety that was used in multiple ways, and you could see the progression of the way he was used throughout his career was Troy Polamalu. Mm. When you would watch Troy Polamalu early on, they would just do two or three things with him. But as his career progressed, he was doing so many things you never knew. I mean, he may be blitzing the B gap. He may be standing on the edge out there coming. He may be in quarters. He may be in halves. He may be in the middle of the field. But I think that whatever your player can digest, that's what you do now, especially in the back end there, because it's so, so important nowadays. because you can't touch these receivers, you have to be able to trick them with pre-snap and post-snap looks.
Interesting you say that. Pro Football Focus maintains that with the trend of these run-pass option offenses and what you see now in the NFL, the more successful defenses are the ones that can cover better rather than rush the passer better. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, because the ball's coming out so quick.
Yes.
The ball's coming out quick, and the other thing that's happening is defensive backs are defensive second-level players, whether they be DBs, whether they be linebackers, whether they be hybrid players back there. You know, they're at such a disadvantage because they can't touch them and they can't hit them after they catch it, okay? You know, only in certain places. And so it's so important to be able to cover for a while. And the ball, as quick as the ball is coming out now, and we've talked about this on this show before, about how now edge pressure is always going to be important, but the interior pressure at that center guard triangle is becoming so much more important because immediate pressure in the face because of the RPO, three-step, you know, the fast throws that are coming out, bigger players inside to get their hands up, because even if you're not going to sack the quarterback, and I've always used to tell my defenses this, if you're not going to be sacking the quarterback, be a pass defender on your way to the quarterback. Get your hands up. Make it tough for him to throw. You know, do some of these things. And so, I mean, I agree with that some, because very few people in the league offensively now are taking seven-step drops and standing back there in a cylinder and waiting for things to come open downfield. They're throwing it quick.
So does that help defensive backs in that more man defensive back techniques are used now because of spread out, you know, run pass option or zone? How would you approach that?
The man technique, the only thing that man does, as you well know, it defines things so much quicker for the quarterback. Right. The quarterback, you know, the quarterback's man defines who's got who, cat coverage. He's got, you know, now I can work one-on-one. If you're going to be a good zone team in this league, you've got to be able to disguise what you're doing, and then you have to be able to play matchup zone. In this league, you have to play matchup zone and be able to pass, as you well know. You know, I mean, you played it. I mean, look, I'm going to say something here just that you and I'll understand. You played 3Z before. Oh, yeah. You know how it is. Okay, you're going to play zone one side, man match on the other. And if you're on the man side, pass it to zone. If you're on the zone side, carry it because the man might be gone. Uh-huh. So all of these intricate defenses come into play now.
Yeah. Pac-Man didn't know that stuff.
No. Made plays.
But a heck of a player, though. So Matt. You make sacrifices, what I'm right. getting at.
Coach Matt, great to see you. Thank you.
Guys, it goes too fast. Yeah. That's fun. See you guys.
All right, man. It's Coach Dave McGinnis from Titans Radio, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. 8:57 the time. Coming up next, we'll head out to Omaha. And a man who has a room with a view, Joe Fisher, he's coming up in a moment here on the